Good morning. Turn with me to the book of James as we read our section for this morning, and as we're looking at the Word of God. James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 2 to 4. And I've had several of you come up and say, you know, I've been reading James. And that's great. And as you read, ask God to open up your heart and your words as He speaks to you. The Word of God can speak to us because it's living and active. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." How do you handle and how well do you handle trials? All right. You know, there are jewelers, some jewelers have a way of, that's interesting, of testing the genuineness of a diamond. And it's really a very simple thing. They place it in clear water, and then it causes a real diamond, if it's a genuine diamond, it will sparkle with an extra brilliance in that clear water. If you put an imitation stone along with that diamond in there, that imitation stone will have almost no sparkle or brilliance at all. In a similar way, people can often notice the difference between those who are genuine Christians growing in Christ and those who are only professors of being Christians. As with those jewels, there is a definite radiance and there's a definite sparkle about their lives, especially when they are going through difficulty and through trials. So, what we're looking at today is how a person handles trouble and trials will reveal a lot about your faith and about your life as a believer. Webster's Dictionary describes happiness as a state of well-being and pleasurable satisfaction. A state of well-being and pleasurable satisfaction. But I think there's a lot of people today that happiness is eluding them. And it's a state of mind that they seldom experience in their life. I think perhaps the pressures at home, pressures on the job, difficulties in families, difficulties with their personal problems, all these things can come together and they can rob us of the happiness and joy that God desires. But I believe the Bible tells us that for the Christian, happiness and joy can be a living reality and can be something that you experience in your lives, that we can be triumphant. And I think that's what James is saying here. Even in the midst of trials, however great or small they might be. Father, we just pray that this morning you would open up our hearts to understand your word, and that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us. Each and every one of us in this room can learn something from your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every heart here today about something that you want them to learn, to encourage them, to challenge them, that, Lord, that we might hear you today through this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice what James says first. Consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. That's an interesting thing. When you think about this, if I'm honest, okay? If I'm honest, I have to admit that my first reaction when something goes wrong, or I get bad news on a health issue, or someone close to me dies, or there's not enough money at the end of the month, etc., etc., that's not always my first response when that comes up. Consider it all joy. I don't respond that way. Sometimes I do other things. In fact, you know what? I'm going to guess that I might be just like you. When I get that news, my first reaction is oftentimes anger, sometimes frustration, sometimes despair, or maybe even a little bit of bitterness if I allow it to continue on. How about you? But definitely not thankfulness for that trial or joy. Then I get upset with myself about how I responded to that situation, thinking, you know, I blew it. I shouldn't have acted that way, but I did. Anybody here ever identify with that? Yeah, we all do, don't we? You know, James does say, though, notice it. It says, consider it all joy. The word consider there, when you have to come to this text, it means to think about. It means to count or regard something that is based upon a factual truth or based upon something that we experience. To consider. That's what James is saying. There's an old adage that maybe you remember this from when you were younger. What do you do when you start to get angry? What are you supposed to do? What's that? Pray, but count what? Count to 10. There's an old adage about counting to 10 when you start to get angry. Well, I think what James is saying here is this also. Hey, I think he's saying this. Take a moment. Take a moment to pause your feelings and your immediate response and your reaction. Then think and learn and consider. Don't do the emotional thing. How many of us do the emotional thing? How many of us, when we have something that really just messes up, I don't care what it is, and your first response is something pleasant coming out of your mouth? That's the emotional thing. And what James is saying is, consider it all joy. Think about it. Before you do anything else, stop, get a hold of your emotions, and you pause before you do anything else. I think that's the language here. So we need to understand that joy, that aspect of joy, is not independent of the trial itself. You can have that joy and that trial at the same time. It should not be independent. In fact, John Calvin says a thing that's pretty interesting. There is nothing in our afflictions that ought to disturb our joy. In other words, your joy should not be disturbed by those trials. Are the trials necessarily pleasant? Are they likable? Would you rather have them go away? Yeah. But he's saying, don't let that trial disturb your joy. Not always easy. So before we think, James, and you think about this, count it all joy. That's why I put the exclamation mark and the question mark after it. What? Really? Before we throw away what James is saying, and we think he's totally crazy about this joy thing, I think we need to remember that there are words in the New Testament which writers had that gave us similar ideas to what James is saying. So if we think about that, if it was more than one person that says basically the same thing as James does, do you think maybe God thinks it's possible? Yeah, it is. So let's take a look at a couple of other places. Peter wrote this, and he was writing. Peter, when you look at 1 and 2 Peter, Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering for their faith. He talks about the fiery ordeal. It's a very heavy kind of testing. So here's what Peter says. In this, talking about the trials, here's a word, greatly rejoice. He takes it a step beyond. He says, don't just have joy and be rejoicing. He says, greatly rejoice. Why? If necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. If necessary means that I think God realizes it's something that has to happen in your life. Greatly rejoice. Paul also wrote this, and not only this, but we also exult or rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. That's a key phrase we're going to come back to a little later. And here's the one that really is the clincher. So Peter and Paul both talk about that in your trials that you should be rejoicing. But you know what? Paul takes it even further. And this one is the one that you can't really hide from. This is the one that really gets to me. Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Notice what he's saying there. What is Paul saying? Rejoice in what? In the Lord. He doesn't say rejoice in your trials. And James isn't saying you rejoice in your trials. What James is saying, you consider it joy when you go through a trial. Your joy should be in the Lord. You know, that doesn't mean that trials are necessarily pleasant and we have to say, oh joy, I'm having a trial. That's not what he's talking about here. So when we look at this concept, we have to be doing that always. In whatever circumstance I am in, I should always be rejoicing in the Lord. Warren Wiersbe puts an interesting slant on it. He says this, our values determine our evaluations. If we value comfort more than character, in other words, if I want to be more comfortable than having my character be right, then trials will upset us. If we value the materials and physical more than the spiritual, in other words, I'm more wrapped up into this world, then we will not be able to count it all joy. And then he says this, if we live only for the present and we forget about the future, the trials will make us bitter, not better. Maybe all three of these people, Peter, Paul, James, or four, James, and Warren Wiersbe, have something, and they were onto something here that we should take a look at. Although, when you go through a trial, there are going to be powerful negative emotions. They're going to happen when we encounter those trials. We need to think about trials from a biblical perspective. What does James say? How does he go on? Well, we're going to take a look at the truths about trials as far as what James says. He has two truths about trials. The first one is, God says what? Expect trials. Notice what he says here. Consider it joy when you encounter various trials. He doesn't say if you encounter various trials. He says what? When. They're going to happen. Resolve yourself to that. It's not going to be like the commercial where you push the easy button and it's all done away with. You're going to have trials. The believer who expects their Christian life to be easy is in for a shock. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you think your life is going to be easy, you're going to have a little bit of wake-up call. Jesus even stated, in the world, notice what he says, in the world you will have tribulation. You will have trials. So our Lord said, hey, it's going to happen. You can't get away from it. Secondly, so the trials are going to happen. Secondly, here's what James says. There will be various trials. Notice what he says. Consider it joy when you encounter various trials. There will be various trials. Various is a word, poikilos, in the Greek, which means what? Variegated or many-colored. Many-colored. So when we think about that word various, James is saying that the trials that we encounter will come in many different types, many different shapes, many different shades, many different degrees. Some are going to be more difficult than others. Some are going to be not quite as difficult, but they're still going to be like little bees or gnats that buzz around your head. There can also be internal and external. Internal being emotional difficulties and things I'm thinking about, wrestling within myself. And I think this is very, very important. A lot of things about our trials vary. Many trials are what? Are just those things that we encounter every day. Those things we go about. I'm going to open it up to you. Give me some everyday nagging little trials. Maybe some that you've even gone through this past week. Give me some trials that you can tell me that are just everyday kind of things in your life.
Getting up in the morning.
All right. Getting up in the morning. Okay. Being able to get your body to move out in the morning, right? Okay. Physical issues. You know, just that difficulty of every day trying to get up. What else? Something else you've gone through. Just an ordinary trial.
Two-year-olds.
I don't know if I put that as just an ordinary kind of a trial, but two-year-olds. We call them the terrible twos, don't we? Every day. You know, it's every day that you go through that too. It doesn't stop with the next day, does it? Okay, what's another trial? Yes. Puppies. Okay, I think I know this. So Caitlin, tell me, why are puppies trials? You want to show us? You can't see it there, but she has, I saw it earlier, she showed me, she has two little holes in her brand new little skirt. Guess who put those holes there? Sophie, the new adorable little puppy. Sophie chews on like things like puppies do. Somebody else, another trial, real quick.
Teaching the same lesson over and over again and they still don't get it.
I like that. When I was an assistant director at a camp, the one thing that I had to do, I was in charge of all the toilets and the responsibility to make sure they're clean. The one thing that you can't teach them over and over is, and you got to, is flushing the toilet. Teaching them over and over again. Okay, somebody else. Yes? What's that?
Road work.
Okay. All right, so it slows you down, doesn't it? You got to wait for those guys. Oh, wow, we're going to get into something about patience here, I think. Okay, road work. Anybody else? that's a, you know, maybe a pet peeve of yours, a trial.
Things breaking down.
Like what?
Cars, watches.
Things break down, don't they? Those are the things in life that just happen. Okay? So we, and you can give all kinds of things that, that take place in your life. And but the key is they're various. Look at what we just talked about. They're various trials. They're variegated. They're many colored. Now, here's something I want you to think about. Some of those trials may not be necessarily sent by God directly. But what? He allows them to happen in your life. We can't say that every trial that comes into your life is a trial from God. We can say this, He allows them to happen. But there are others that God directly brings into your life. Why? For your testing. So when you go to Peter, Peter kind of picks this up a little bit more. He says that you consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, as James says. But then Peter picks it up and says, if necessary. In other words, God says there's a reason why you need to have this trial in your life. So God brings it into your life for your testing. Here's the principle that I want us to really understand. While you and I don't always know the distinction between those two, which are just things that happen in life or which ones God brings in, God's principles for enduring them all are what? They're still the same. They're still the same. So your response and your reaction when those trials first come in, whatever they are, even though it may not directly be something from God, your response should still be the same. And you can think about different things along this line. You can think about principles. What are principles? Be anxious for nothing. Whoa. You mean even when I have a flat tire? Be anxious for nothing. What's another one? Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Not just certain times, but all the time. That's kind of like rejoice in the word always. Paul is very clear there. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. How many times does something come out of your mouth when you say something or you have a trial? The principles are still the same. It doesn't make any difference if God directly sent that or if it's just a trial of life. Whatever the trial, my principle should be my mouth. I need to be guarding my mouth. And it goes on and on and on. So the principles for all those trials are going to be the same. Now, we know they're going to happen. We know they're going to be various and they're going to be different. What do we know that will make it easier to face trials and benefit from them with joy? What do we know from God's Word? Well, we know this. We know that God will use our trials. Notice in verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Knowing, that word knowing there carries the idea of having some kind of full understanding of something that's beyond just mere factual relationships. And it often comes, that knowing oftentimes comes from personal experience. So when James says knowing, he's talking about, you know, part of this is your personal experience. Jesus gave a tremendous example of this when he had the parable of the fig tree. And during the parable of the fig tree, Jesus makes this statement. He said, when its branch, the fig tree, has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, what do you know is going to happen? It's winter, now what's going to come? Spring and summer. So Jesus says, as you know, when he puts forth his leaves, you know, and I'm underlining know, that summer is near. That's Mark 13, 28. Take a look at that and read that up sometime. You know that summer is coming. As Christians, we know from our own experience that trials work for our own good. God causes all things to work together for good. And that after we have properly endured that trial, by God's grace and by His strength, our trust in the Lord is not only still there, but it's going to be stronger. Someone once said this. I really like this. Knowing God's going to use our trials as the theme. Here's what somebody said. A Christian is like a tea bag. He's not worth much until he has been through some hot water. I like that. A Christian is not worth much. He's like a tea bag. He's not worth much or of much value until he's been through some hot water. You get the idea. What James is telling us is that pressure in our lives will produce. It will bring about things that God wants to bring about. It takes tremendous pressure. It takes tremendous heat to make that diamond that I talked about earlier. But that's what God will use in your life and mine to make us more like his precious son, Jesus. He wants to conform us into the image of Christ, and that takes pressure and heat of the trials of life. Notice James also said these trials are a what? They're a testing of your faith. These trials are a testing of your faith. What will this do? Well, I think that what the testing does confirms your faith in God. And trials should also grow our trust in God. It confirms my faith in who God is. And the trial will help me to grow in my trust in God and to look to Him that way. They grow our trust in God because we see His trustworthiness. We see He is faithful. We see that He doesn't change in His word and His character as we lean on Him over and over and over again. That's what we need to do. When those trials come, we need to lean upon God. We need to go to God. Years ago, Ann and I were part of a college career group. I think I may have shared this about something else, but we were part of a college and career group. And one of the things that we did was we took several camping trips. And on one of those trips, it was to a place called Isle Royale, which was an island on Lake Superior. And while hiking, we came across an old abandoned ranger station. And when I was there at that station, I found a piece of the old roof. This period of my life was a time of great testing and great trial. One of the most difficult times in my life as a new believer, actually. And later I was moved by a verse from Job. Anybody know Job? Yeah, Job. We're studying that in our Tuesday morning Bible study. Job's a difficult book, but there's also one thing about Job that we learned. He was a very patient man. But Job also learned this, and this verse spoke to my heart during this time of great difficulty and great trial. And it was a verse that really helped me. And because of that, a friend of ours put that verse on a slate of wood, and it serves as a constant reminder to me during difficult times. Here's the slate of wood. And this is the verse, I don't know if you can see this, but this is the verse that really spoke to my heart during that time. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even though he brings into my life and allows into my life trials that are beyond what I think I can handle, I'm still going to trust him. That was something that God placed upon my heart as an early believer. That in my difficulties and in my trials, I can trust God no matter what he allows or causes to come into my life. It was a powerful verse. And I hope and pray that there are verses like that in your own life that will speak to your heart and to your life. When we think about this, the psalmist says something very, very profound. I love this. He said, "The suffering you sent," speaking to God, "the suffering you sent me was for me, and it taught me to do what? To pay attention to your principles." That's what God says to us during trials. Pay attention and learn from my word, because that will strengthen your faith. Pay attention to my principles, because I'm allowing that to happen. The testing of your faith also, notice what James says, the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Produces endurance. What does God want to produce in our lives? I think this is what he wants to produce from other texts. He wants to produce patience. He wants to produce endurance, which is really the ability to keep going when things are tough. He wants that in your life and mine. In other words, we will be able to cowboy up. I love that saying. My daughter first learned that years ago. She added a sticker on the back. It was cowgirl up, of course. It was gender proper. But cowboy up, it means hang in there even when it's tough. And I think that's what God wants us to learn. In the face of suffering and difficulty, cowboy up, hang in there. Because we know that ultimately it's for our good. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to read with you verse 17. Very powerful verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. When we look at this, we need to have this principle in mind as we're going through trials. And it's a very short verse, but it's a very powerful verse. It speaks to our hearts about what God wants us to understand about those trials. Chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at verse 17. Paul says this. Notice what he says about trials. Momentary, just briefly, They don't always seem brief, do they? But momentary and light affliction. Notice what God is saying. In perspective to everything else, these afflictions are light. And it's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. Memorize that verse and hang on to it when you're going through difficulties. James now concludes this section by saying this. Notice what he says there in verse 4. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, what James is not saying there is that you're going to be ultimately perfect like Jesus is. You won't do that until you get to be with him in heaven. But what it means, that word perfect means to become more mature, to become more complete. So when James says that its endurance will have its effect, it's that you may be perfect and complete, it means that he wants you to be mature. Notice he says let this happen. In other words, allow it. We have to submit to God and for that to take place. If we do allow God to be the authority in our life, then God can accomplish his work. God is never going to be satisfied with a halfway job. God wants us to be a finished product that is mature and complete. A general principle when you look at trials. Immature people are almost always what? Impatient. They're impatient. You know what impatient people are like. You've been around them. Maybe you might have a little problem with that in your life as well. Mature people are patient, they're persistent, and they're enduring. Maybe we're not there yet, but God wants us to be perfected in that aspect of maturity. God's goal for your life is this. It's maturity. Paul Tripp, I don't know if that's any relation. Where are the Tripp? There they are. I don't know if that's any relation to you guys or not. But anyway, he made this statement. God will take you where you wouldn't probably go to produce in you what you couldn't accomplish. Doesn't that make sense with trials? He takes you through trials to accomplish what you couldn't accomplish, what he wants to do in your life. One of the ways God can develop this maturity is of patience and endurance is through trials. You cannot attain this by just reading a book. You can't attain it by coming and listening to this sermon. You can't attain it by talking with it about other people's. You have to go through the trial of life. Then you have to trust God and you have to obey him. Knowing that, we can face trials joyfully because we know what trials will do in us and for us. And the end is, as Paul says, it'll bring glory to God. This maturity is the Christ formation. Remember I talked about Christ formation last week? That's what God wants. That's the aspect of that maturity that I spoke of last week. Being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself is the perfect example of how we go through trials. In closing, I want to say this. That's why we should be doing this. That's why we should be doing this in our lives. We should be fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter. Remember, James says that he wants to perfect you, the perfecter of faith, who for the joy, notice what Jesus did, who for the joy set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. That's exactly what James says, that we are to come up with endurance in our life. He endured the cross. If I know that, if we know this and we fix our eyes on him, if Jesus considered a joy to die for, all joy, to die for you and me, shouldn't we, by his strength and support, be able to consider it all joy when we go through trials in our own lives? That should be what we should be doing, fixing our eyes upon Jesus and allowing him to make us more mature in our response to trials and in our allowing those trials to teach us and to grow us. Many of you here are going through trials that are very difficult right now. Some of you are just going through the ordinary day trials, but the principles are still all the same. Consider it joy. Why? Not because of the trial, but because God is doing a work in you. And he wants you to become more like Christ. Fix your eyes upon Jesus and allow him to teach you how to do that. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We all go through these trials. And Lord, sometimes when we're going through them, we don't think that we're going to quit. But you tell us that it's just a short time. And yet, Lord, we know that you're going to teach us. Help us to be more Christ-like and to consider it all joy when we go through the trial. In Jesus' name, amen.